In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I bring greeting from St. Paul's in Prosper. I'm glad it wasn't icy on the roads today coming down here, but it's a pleasure to be here with you all. I've been here before, and it's a pleasure to be back in this church. I don't know if you all know this, but preaching's not always easy. I don't know what Father Mark does with the sermons here, but what I do is I look at the scriptures and I think about the people and I say, God, what do you want to say? What's your word that you want to speak to them? And it's kind of a big deal. The God is going to speak through me to you all. And I think what helps me in the midst of that is just to say, God loves you. God cares about you. And God is always wanting to speak his word to you, and he does it in many, many ways. How many of you ever read a passage in scripture and it just came out to you and you just said, wow, God's speaking to me in that right now, right in this moment? How many of you have ever had a friend, a Christian brother and sister in Christ who said something to you and it was God speaking to you through them? God of the universe knows how many hairs on your head. He loves you. He knows everything about you. He's all around us. He's always present, and he loves us and cares for us, and he is constantly speaking to us, and that definitely helps me as I seek to ask God to speak through the words of my mouth as well. John the Baptist was a preacher, as you all know, and I would argue that his message of repentance and belief and Jesus following is relevant for us today as well. Earlier in Mark, John the Baptist, it states this about John. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. In Isaiah's time, a herald would go before a dignitary, a king, to indicate that he was coming down the street. And they would clean up the town and make it ready. And they would make sure that there were causeways over valleys and that the hills were leveled and that the king and his procession and his entourage could all come to be seen and known and given the respect that they were due. I had the privilege of living in California for many years, in L.A., right where the Rose Parade went down Colorado Boulevard. And I would wake up on New Year's Day to the sound of high school bands. And I would get out of bed and walk down, and it was this huge procession. And they would go through great lengths in the weeks prior to the Rose Parade coming, of cleaning the streets, of setting up bleachers, of people would come in and set up chairs for weeks, all waiting to prepare for that festivity. No obstructions could be on the road at all. And that was John the Baptizer's ministry as well. He came preaching a baptism of repentance to the people, to prepare them for the coming Messiah, to get their lives ready and right for the Messiah's coming. He preached the crowds that true faith is not who you are related to, but by the fruit that you bear, and that you should care for the poor. He preached to the tax collectors not for them to quit their jobs, but to do their work honestly. He preached to soldiers who were not condemned for their vocation, but he told them to not use your authority for your own personal gain. He preached against the Pharisees and their self-righteousness, and he preached against the leaders of Israel for their unethical behavior. And he did this because he wanted to see a change of heart and a change of behavior in the lives of those that were coming so that they might be able to be ready and receptive and open to the Messiah, to the Christ coming to minister and speak to them. How many of you have ever seen someone's heart and life changed by Christ, by the preaching of the gospel to them? It's a wonderful and powerful thing to see someone who is going this direction in their life and with challenges and perhaps destructive behaviors, and to see them turn around and start going the way that God wants them to go, to see their life and their behavior, to see that selfishness turn to someone who is focused on wanting to do what's right, to serve God. And really, that's what repentance means. It means to say you're going your own direction and to align yourself with God, to want to go His way. And I will be speaking today about three ways, I think, that are the results of what it means to align ourselves with God. As we align our life with Him, we'll see God-like character in our behavior. We'll see service to humanity in our lives. And we'll also learn what it means to worship God. And those are the three conclusions, the results of what it means when we align our lives with God. John the Baptist came saying, "Repent and be baptized." And he called his hearers to a change of heart, a change of life. And that baptism was a sign that, hey, I'm going to die to my old ways, and I'm going to go the way that God wants me to go. His other message was to proclaim the coming Messiah who was coming. He had said this, "There is one more powerful than I coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Do you know what the word Jesus means? It means God saves. That was his purpose. Names in the Bible have a tremendous meaning and importance. And Jesus' name was God saves. And his other title he's given in this passage is the Messiah, God's anointed one. He was anointed by God to come to save humanity. That was his work as he aligned his life with God, was to save us through his death and resurrection and his rising again on the cross. Jesus was a preacher, much like John the Baptist, and he came preaching similar things. He said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." There's some important parts of that I want to talk about. I think repentance in our culture and our world gets a bad rap. But again, it's just saying, "God, I was going my way, my own way, and now I'm going to turn and go the way that you want me to go." That's really what repentance means there. And what does it mean to believe? It means to believe in the one who God has sent, in this person Jesus. To believe that this person is the Messiah, the Son of God, that he is who he said he was, and that we should model our lives and follow him and believe the words that he has spoken, that we believe in him as our Lord and our Savior. The other thing that this passage says is the kingdom of God is at hand. Which that means is it's so close, it's so near to you, you could reach out and you could touch it and grasp it with our hand. I don't know if we realize this. When I became a Christian, I think that was one of the most important things in my own life and walk. I was an acolyte in high school, serving at the altar, and I encountered the presence of God. I realized that God was real, and that you could reach out and you could touch him and know him, and that he loved you, and that he cared for you. And he was so close to you. He knew you so intimately. And I just I think that is the important message here as well, that God is so close to us, and he longs to speak to us and for us to follow him. We should repent and believe that the kingdom of God is at hand. Francis Schaeffer was a pastor who had a retreat center in the Swiss Alps, and he used to take people that would go to retreats where he was, up into the mountains, and they would take him to where the snow was beginning to melt. And he would point at the snow and say, if the snow melts and goes down this side of the mountain, it's going to go into the Rhine, which is one of the most polluted rivers in that area. And if the snow melted and it went down this river over here, it would go into the Rhone, one of the cleanest rivers. And he was kind of saying, when we stop following our own selfish ways, when we start aligning ourselves with God, we see the blessing that comes through that, that the water and the beauty of our lives as we experience God's love and his forgiveness, the hope that we have in eternal life, the hope that we have for our trials and our struggles now that God is with us. Who can be against us if God is for us? The hope that comes in aligning our lives with God can be ours as we turn, as we repent, and as we repent and believe, and that it's near to us, that we can taste it. So what does it look like to repent and believe? God-like character, service to humanity, and worship of God. I want to talk about those things a little bit. One is God-like character. If we follow Jesus, his character and nature should rub off on us. If his Holy Spirit is in us, it should be transforming our lives. It's amazing to be given the grace of God. Every sin, every mistake, every failure that I've ever committed has been washed away. That I am clean, that I am a son of God, that I have access to God, that I have a gift of eternal life. What a blessing that is for us. And we need to remember that. We need to take captive that thought in our minds and hearts when other things come into our mind telling us we've made a mistake or we're worthless or we can't forgive ourselves for whatever reason. We need to remember the grace that God has given us. That is part of what it means to repent, to remind ourselves that we are a child of God. The other part of repentance is to say, God, what area in my life do you need still to work on? What part of my life are you transforming now? The little r of repentance, so to speak. A famous pastor said, every Christian should know right now what area in their life God is transforming or working on, and that you should know it right as I speak that. That God wants your character to be more aligned with His, that you want to be more aligned with what He's calling to you, how to live and to be holy. And we need to partner with God and say, yes, God, I repent. I change my selfish ways and I will follow after you and I will live my life in service to you, loving my neighbor, loving you, God. And that's the conclusion of what it means to align ourselves with God. Another one is service to humanity. John the Baptist's call was to prepare the way for Jesus to come and preach this wild message of repentance. And he did that. And he gave his life doing that. He made Herod really mad and his wife, and they killed him for his message of repentance. But he was following what God had called him to do, the message that he was to bring. Jesus, too, laid down his life in service to humanity, that we could be adopted into the family of God, that we can share a heavenly meal with him, that we can be sons and daughters, that his love and presence, that we have access to those things, that he is not mad at us. But he loves us. This is the work that Jesus has done, and it's a wonderful work that he did, laying down his life for humanity. God is calling us as well to lay down our lives in service to others. He reminds us that the most important things in our lives are not our things, but they're the people in our families, the people in our community, those living next door to us, those working alongside us, that they are all made in the image of God, that they are all precious in His sight, that Jesus died for them so that they too could be included in this family of God. Do they know His love? Do they know God's care? Do they know His heart? Do they know that He is near to them in their needs, in their struggles, in their darkness? God is near to them as well. Are you partnering with God? Are you seeking and serving others around you because God loves them already and He's already doing it? And our job is to see ways that we can be minister as well. And as we turn from our sin, our selfishness, we look and see people and we see them as God sees them, that we can minister to them. The most selfless thing that a perfect being who is perfectly loving could do would be to create other beings to enjoy Himself. And if those creatures fell away from Him, the most selfless thing a perfect and loving being could do would be to go to get them, to save them from the death that would take place in His absence, which is what God has done for us. Are we sharing this good news with others? The third thing that happens as we align our lives with God is that we learn what it means to worship God. Church is very important. Us gathering here is more than just showing up and saying a liturgy. We are entering into the presence of God. His Holy Spirit is here ministering and speaking. We come together and worship on holy ground, and we remember God's love for us. We remember His wisdom and care for us. We receive His mercy. We receive His strength and His daily bread. And we let God speak to us in our hearts and our minds. Again, I was saying to you that the reason I think I'm a priest is that I realized this stuff is real. God is real. And I just encourage you to seek Him and know Him and realize that God is speaking to you as well. This is the beauty of what it means to be a Christian, is that God is still speaking to us. And I think the Methodists' motto line is, God is still speaking. And that's true. God is speaking into this time, into this place, into our lives, that He has things that He wants us to do. He has ministries He wants us to do. He has messages that He wants us to hear as we worship Him and as we know Him. He wants to see our lives transformed so that we can be a light, so that we can be a better instrument of service, of worship to Him and to others. I just encourage you to do that this day. My grandmother was a big reason, I think, my family came to faith. She came to an Episcopal service, not being churched at all, and heard the verse about her burdens being lifted in the Scriptures. And it changed her life. She had struggled with depression. And when she heard that verse speaking to her, she knew God was saying, if you follow Me, your burdens will be lifted. I will carry, because My yoke is easy and My burden is light. And it transformed her life. And she was an example of faith in my family. And we attribute a lot of all of us coming to know Him through her prayers, through her ministries, through her faith. My grandmother and my grandfather are buried here in this place. You have a special gift of saints that have been in this place and been transformed through the ministry of this place. And I just encourage you that God is still working. He is still doing this work of transformation in this place and through you all. And I encourage you to hear Him, to repent and believe, and to know that He is present for you. I offer you this in Christ's name. Amen.